It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Lariettes. And welcome, everyone, to Sinner's Sunday. Every other Sunday, we gather at this creaky old chapel, which has become sort of a refuge, I guess, for you. If you've had enough of the corporate god providers, you know, those outfits with the glass and marble palaces, the Gulfstream jets, and the 8, 9, or 10-figure bank accounts. And whatever flavor they are, they've usually got robes and rituals, foot soldiers and lieutenants and admirals. Sometimes they've even got a CEO who claims he himself is God or a God, as did Oregon's famed Bhagwan Rajneesh. I always kind of dug the Bhagwan. He hated all socialists and commies. He was as comfortable in the spiritual world as he was in the material, and to prove his point, he amassed a collection of 93 Rolls Royces. How can you not like a commie-hating demigod with great taste in wheels? Maybe we'll take a closer look at the Bhagwan next time. He was a fascinating dude. We have no Rolls Royces here. We don't even have any electrical service. There's a little gas generator outside that cranks just enough wattage to run those light bulbs above and Brother Dre's PA system. We don't even own this little place. We just kind of squat here when we need it and hope we don't return someday to find the place surrounded by chain-link fencing with a permit to build condos. But until that time, we'll just keep coming here and share some laughs, cold beer, hot barbecue, as we kick around things of a spiritual nature. And there's usually something fresh in that spiritual department, something trending that has people in a tizzy. Now, last week, some commie writer said that the Pope told him that JC's physical body did not come back to life and rocket up to heaven, that only his soul did. And he also wrote that the Pope said that while on earth, JC was not part God, but man and only man. Ooh, talk about kicking sand in faces. Many people were pretty pissed off. To which I would reply, who cares what one commie says about another commie? Didn't JC come back on several occasions in his body and invite, like when he invited Thomas the Doubter to stick his fingers in the wounds he got courtesy of Roman spears? How could that have happened if only his spirit was resurrected? And really, a spirit is eternal anyway. So if it cannot die, how can it be resurrected? Whichever side of the argument you're on, it does raise some interesting questions. Up until 1963, the church banned cremation. It was a big no-no. Then they changed their mind. They were originally down on cremation because, well, it didn't much square with the resurrection of the body, that somehow a whole stiff, even a severely decomposed stiff in a coffin 6 feet under, would more easily reanimate when Gabriel blows that double C on his Martin committee. Funeral guys got rich off that idea, didn't they? Selling people caskets made to withstand nuclear blasts. Keep those bones in good repair, or at least in the same general area. I wonder if the church realized how their views paralleled those of the pharaohs. Those guys went to great, great lengths to preserve their bodies. They were quite sure they were going to need them in the afterlife. And their journey to the other side was a big adventure. I think it would appeal to some people. In Christian doctrine, you die, and if you were a reasonably good person, your soul goes to heaven. But how does it get there? Probably sort of like Star Trek teleportation, I suppose. But those Egyptians, their trip to the Promised Land was an odyssey. They traveled by boat. A mummy slid through that underworld on a river which was inhabited by serpents armed with long knives. I have trouble with that one. How does a snake hold a knife? But whatever. And there were lots of fire-spitting dragons and reptiles with multiple heads. And then once they got to the realm of Duat, the deceased had to pass through seven gates, precisely reciting a magic spell at each gate. If they got through all that successfully, they were then judged by Osiris, the main man in the underworld. You know, although that Indiana Jones-style journey sounds exciting, I do prefer the notion of an afterlife up there somewhere in the heavens, rather than below in that underworld. But for the Egyptians, you'd certainly need a body for all of it, huh? You'd have to be in decent shape. I guess they were. You never ever see a drawing of an ancient Egyptian that's fat. And the women, oh, they were the pointiest, right down to those geometric Cleopatra hairdos. Cremation seems so permanent. Someone reduced to a few pounds of ashes in a jar. And then, one of those ashes are sprinkled over the sea, huh? Particles of him could be anywhere from Miami to Hong Kong, maybe even ingested by lobsters or mackerel. How can they possibly be reconstituted as required by so many biblical passages? Well, we're talking about God here, aren't we? If he really is all-powerful, even reassembling someone cremated and scattered over the waves shouldn't be too difficult. Look how easy it was for that dead pharaoh in those mummy movies. He reformed himself from the sands of the Sahara, although those roaches crawling out of his eye sockets were a bit disconcerting. The Pope thing has been a lightning rod for the Catholic Church since its inception. We talked about devil popes in episode 80. Some of those guys have been odious characters, and some have been pretty good guys. But in just about every organized religion, there's someone at the top who's running the show, setting policies, few of which seem to have any real bearing on what's important. Corporate God providers operate a lot like governments. All governments are ostensibly established to serve the citizens, but before long, they mostly serve themselves. And just as with governments, they soon cook up all kinds of laws. And the early laws are designed to be, what, guidelines for people of limited intellect or questionable character. Moses' first 10 were really all that you needed. But once organizations become massive, the laws they enact start to be less about setting a moral compass and more about control and entrapment. Organizations heavy with policies and laws are very appealing to some people. Having to comply with a complex matrix of dietary restrictions and conduct rituals with great precision and memorize vast passages of scripture, that just makes some people feel, secure, fortified, superior. Mountains of canon law is also a place where hypocrites can live happily ever after. They can puff out their chests, hold their heads high as they live up to the letter of the law, while crapping all over the spirit of the law. That's a calling for some people, and that stuff drove JC nuts. As you may know, this chapel is less than 50 miles from Hollywood. And we mostly revile Hollywood, but still, sometimes Hollywood manages to come up with true brilliance, as in the movie Lost Horizon, directed by Frank Capra. It's about a plane crash in the Himalayas. The survivors are rescued by strange people and brought to their hidden tropical valley, unknown to the rest of the world. That valley is called Shangri-La, and there, crime, hunger, violence, and even illness are unknown. The people lead happy, peaceful lives for hundreds of years. Shangri-La is led by an ancient wise man, and one evening he reveals the secret that makes Shangri-La a paradise. They live by no laws, but only one brief commandment. Much of the world's suffering would end if we could live those two words that made Shangri-La a paradise. Be kind. Another piece of Hollywood brilliance was in the movie SOB, which was probably the inspiration for the more pedestrian Weekend at Bernie's. It's about a group of jaded buddies in Hollywood, and one of them dies unexpectedly, and it rocks their world. And as they look at his corpse, one guy, the wisest of the bunch, says, "You know, that's not him. That's just something he walked around in." That line really summarizes it all, if you believe in the immortal soul. We're all just walking around in a package. One that's designed to be biodegradable, despite all our efforts to the contrary. Which makes you wonder why the church ever banned cremation in the first place. You know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, it's right there in Genesis. And Ash Wednesday is an important Catholic holy day. I hope to someday meet JC in the form we've come to expect, huh? Big bearded dude with sandals and a great sarcastic sense of humor. But what if it's not? What if that was just something he walked around in too? What if he looks like Casper or something from Area 51? What if he's just a formless energy mass that makes you feel better than you ever could have in your current package? Does it really matter? Probably not. But I think he will be the big Nazarene. I think there will be wine and beer and great food and music and pointy chicks as far as the eye or the mind can see. Hey, thanks for hanging with us today. If you want to help us keep the lights on here at the chapel, you can slide over to thatlarryshow.com and click that Patreon button. We'll be back this Tuesday or thereabouts for the regular show, which will be a fun one. It's about a guy who was screwed by the system and then took the situation into his own hands with a sawed-off shotgun, and he actually won. That only happens in movies, right? Wrong. I'll see you late Tuesday, and until then, God bless.